Natchitoches. And because there is a power company, all we need to do is plug in. We don't have to go and start the generator. We don't have to go and we don't have to fuel the fire. And on our end, all we have to do is plug in. There's somebody that's already taken care of making sure we have power. All we have to do is flip the switch. And so what
we know, your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Still answers prayer. Right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, we ask for the Holy Ghost ability to take the text and unfold it and disclose it to your people. Meet us again, God, right where we are, ministering to us and then lifting us to new levels. God, we thank you for what you've chosen to say again to us. And let us not only be hearers, but doers of your holy word. We'll give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. I have been summoned back to a few verses of scripture to deal with, as I believe in these times in which we live, God is calling our attention to the rich and marvelous harvest that is ripe before us today. And if we miss this season, we may not have another like this one to bring them into the kingdom. And so I challenge you to look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 9. And I just want to lift out a few verses of scripture, beginning at verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Yes. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. I just want us to know afresh that it is again harvest time. I tell your neighbor, it's harvest time. And this call must continuously be made, not only until we get it, but until we do what we're called to do in this harvest season. We see here the motivated Jesus Christ, as in this text here, he's motivated always by the cares and the concerns of the people. And if we see what motivated Jesus and then lock hold to that same motivation, no doubt then we too can be motivated in this season of harvest. He walked on this earth and dealt with all kinds of people with all kinds of conditions and all kinds of situations, and he was moved with compassion. Obviously, Jesus was limited in the flesh as to where he could be doing things that he could do. And so because of that, we see Jesus with a pedestrian mentality, moving from one place to the next place to the next place, because while he was yet in this form, he was locked to the human flesh and could not be everywhere at every time. And so yet you see where he was given the opportunity to minister, he maximized the opportunity. And I think it's so important for the church, especially in this day and time, to realize that it is harvest time. Harvest time is not coming. It already is. The fruit is already ripe. They're ready to be picked. It is now the time to start moving into this arena of God's harvest. And there are people waiting who are hurting, who are seeking, who are desiring to move from the place of their conditions to that place that God promises his people. And many of them don't know which way to go, don't know what to do next. And that's where we come in. That's why it's so important for us to get the gospel out. That's why it's so important for us to be witnesses and to testify and to invite folk. That's why it's so important to be in tune with the Holy Ghost on our jobs, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, to hear him unction us, to speak a word to somebody. You may say, well, that's old brother so-and-so. You know, I know he's either saved or he's not saved. And, you know, you just, because of your familiarity, many times won't be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. But what you don't know is that their time and their season is now. What may not have worked a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago may be just right right now. Let's look at Jesus, because I want you to see something. First of all, I want you to see in these verses we've read in your hearing, verse 36 through verse 38, there are three things I want us to focus on. First, and you can jot them down. First, I want to look at the compassion of the Savior. The compassion of the Savior. And then I want us to look at the condition of the sinner. The condition of the sinner. But then thirdly, I want us to look at the commission of the saints. Listen, when we look at this word, we'll see very clearly that Jesus is passionate about saving souls and ministering to people. He was known as a people person. And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. Regardless of your personality, we need to tap into Jesus's personality and become people person. The Bible says, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you. We've got to learn how to do it Jesus's way. He had an authentic and attractive ministry. His authentic authentic and attractive ministry was all because of his passion connected with his mission. And Jesus didn't let anything and anybody and any place stop him from doing what he had come to do. You've got to be so passionate about what God's called you to do that you don't care who you do it in front of. You've got to be careful that you don't let where you are keep you from doing it, because you're in a high place with those who are of the upper echelon, or you're in the low place with those who are in the guttermost. You've got to be at a place where it doesn't matter. If he brought me here, then he's already given me an opportunity, placed on the inside of me what he wants me to say to whosoever will. And so I want you to see this. We're talking about going back to verse 36. Verse A says, the A portion of that verse says, he saw. Let's go back and see what it says. It says, but when he saw the multitude. Now, I want you to know that there is an important emphasis on the fact that he saw. That was some men with him, but the men with him didn't see what he saw. They couldn't see the forest for the trees. And see, you've got to have a passion and understand your mission in order to fulfill your commission. See, you can see some stuff other folk don't see. They're looking at it. They may see a problem. Jesus may see an opportunity. They may see one thing. Jesus sees another. And when you know what it is you're looking for, you can see what others around you cannot see. The record is, he saw the multitudes. Now listen to this. They were looking on the outward part. Jesus was looking on the inside. Listen to this word again. He saw, but when he saw the multitudes. Listen at this. I want you to see what else the compassion of the Savior had. He sympathized with the multitude. Now, one, he saw the multitudes, but two, he sympathized with the multitude. The disciples saw the multitudes, but they did not understand what they saw. They just saw a whole lot of people. And see, the problem with being in a place with a whole lot of people is, again, many times you lose sight on what brought the people together. Many times folks see a whole lot of folk in a certain place and so forth, and many people are there, but they're also there for many different reasons. And if you are not tapped into the Spirit, you will not be able to discern the spiritual nature of why some people are in the same place with other people who are in the same place for other reasons. That's why I know, as pastor and through discerning power, that everybody who comes to church don't come to church for what the Lord has to offer. And I've got to be sensitive enough to move in the Holy Ghost, to say what the Holy Ghost ushers and utters for me to say, unctions for me to say. And those utterances must be aligned with what he has said, because he brought some folk here for a word, some folk for direction, some folk for healing, some folk for deliverance, some folk for this and some folk for that. And other folk just came out of ritual. Some folk just came to see. Some folk just came because they were made to come. But when you know what you're looking for, you'll see some things other folk don't see. You'll look at some folk with smiles on their face, but pain in their heart. You'll look at some folk and they're dressed up and looking good on the outside, but their spiritual man is ragged and torn down. You'll look at some folk who seems to be healthy and whole, but their inner man is suffering from malnutrition. You look at some folk and you see what the outer appearance is, but when you know your mission and you have compassion, you want to heal the inner man. Because if the inner man is taken care of, the outer man will be all right. Look at this word. So the Bible says, when we look at the compassion of the Savior in verse 36a, he sympathized with the multitude, because the Bible says he was moved with compassion. Listen, on them. He was moved. They weren't moved. He was moved. Another gospel account says that the disciples couldn't see what he see, paraphrased, and they wanted to send them away. But Jesus had compassion on them. Isn't it good to know that no matter what your issue is, and you've made your way to the house of the Lord, and while you're trying to keep everybody from seeing what's really going on underneath the skin, isn't it good to know that he sees you? and he has compassion on you. Don't matter how far you've fallen, no matter how much you've messed up, don't matter where you are, no matter what your situation or condition is, isn't it good to know that he has compassion on you? Can I tell you why it's good that he has compassion on you? Because he can do something about your situation. Now listen at this. If he is moved with compassion, that means he's not going to allow you to leave here like you came here. He saw what others could not see underneath your skin. He knows what you're dealing with. He sees the smile on your face, but he sees the hurt in your heart. And he wants to change your situation where it matters the most. So the joy of the gospel is today, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus has compassion on you. That's another shout about right here and right now. Listen again, because I want you to see. In order to have compassion on the multitudes, he's got to see the condition of the sinner. And see, that's one thing that I thank God about, because a whole lot of us, you know, a lot of times we can't get help because we don't admit we need help. But praise be God, he sees us as we are, knows us as we are. We can't camouflage. We can't cover up. We can't hide from him the reality of what's real on the inside of us. And he knows it. And he don't want you to leave here the same way you came here, carrying a heavy load. But he wants you to leave the heavy load and walk out with joy. You came here hurting, but he wants you to leave out healed. You came here down and out and depressed and oppressed, but he wants you to leave free and delivered and liberated from the things that held you down. He has compassion on you. You're worried about the future. Give him your future, because he lives. You can face tomorrow. And everything that comes with tomorrow, when he wakes you up, he gives you enough to be victorious in tomorrow. But I got news for you. He's going to take you through the day first. Because some of you need everything you can do to get through today in order to make it to tomorrow. So when we look at the condition of the sinner, I want you to see this. Look at 36b. Bible says again, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Here it is, because they fainted. They fainted. What did that say to Jesus? It said two things to him. It said, first, they had no power. Secondly, they had no protection. They fainted. It meant they didn't have the ability to no longer stand. It meant that they had become so weak that they fell under the pressure of that problem. They fainted. They had no more power. I don't know if you've ever been in that place, my brothers and sisters, when you've done all that you can do and can't do no more. You are then at a point where you are fainting. And I got news for you. If you ain't got no power, you ain't got no protection. I wish I had a help in the house. It means you are left vulnerable to the enemy's attack when you faint without power and without protection. He had compassion on the crowds because he saw them in their spiritual condition. They were weak. They were hurting. They were hungry. They were needy, and they were there to see Jesus. I got to tell you, if you showed up to church to see anybody but Jesus, you messed up today. Because can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like the Lord, and nobody cares about you like the Lord. And he had compassion so much so that he was moved. That means to take action. To take action. See, some folk have compassion, but not enough to take action. They just feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. Ain't that a shame? I'm going to pray for you. I need more action than that. Jesus was moved to do something. Listen at this. And he saw that they had no power and no protection because they fainted. But it doesn't stop there. He sees something else. The condition of the sinner was not only that they had no power and they had no protection, but you're going to see also what the rest of that word says in the B portion. It says, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So now they had no power. They had no protection. But he kept watching them and he saw that they had no direction. See, when you're faint and powerless, you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to turn. And your power is limited and your steps have got to be structured so you don't waste energy going to somewhere that can't get you where you need to be. And so he saw that they were scattered. One went this way and they said, no, that's not the other way. And another went this way and said, no, that's not the other. And they just started scattering because they had no direction. And I got news for you. He saw them as fruit ready to be picked. And then he changes the analogy now to that of sheep having no shepherd. Because sheep have to have a shepherd in order to give them direction. If you are a sheep, you need to have a shepherd. And here's what you need to know. The shepherd has got to be the one who receives from God the direction to give to the sheep to show them where God wants them to go. Without a shepherd, the Bible says they have no direction. Look at what he says. It's right here in the scripture. And were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. One of the responsibilities of the shepherd was to feed, but not only to feed them, to lead them, not only to lead them, but to protect them. And so he, the shepherd, had a relationship with the sheep, and they knew his voice. And that's why every now and then God reminds me that his principles haven't changed. Because while everybody might be a member of King David, not all of them are sheep. I've got some goats who belong to King David. I've got some wolves that belong to King David. That's why when I stand as pastor of the Greater King David Church and I speak a word or give a direction, the sheep will hear my voice. But them goats and wolves, you know who you are. I ain't got to call your name. If I say, let's go, the sheep say, we're following you. The goats and the wolves won't say, well, wait, where are we going? Why are we going there? How long is it going to take us to get there? And do we really need to go? I was looking at the other direction over there, and it looks like that's a better way. But the Bible is that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And the Bible says, another they will not follow or hear. That's why when I say I want to speak to the sheep, I want to speak to my people. You may be the people of GKD, but the people that God's led for this leadership and you to be the fellowship hears with your spiritual ear, not your natural ear. So don't get yourself upset when you sit next to somebody who can't hear what I'm saying. You might want to ask, you a goat or a wolf? And if they look like they eat you up, don't say nothing. Just be mindful. That's what they are, a goat or a wolf. Try and find you another place next Sunday to see it. But listen, not only do these verses reveal the compassion of the Savior and the condition of the sinner, but here's where you come in, and I'm closing this message with the commission of the saints. Listen. Verse 37 and 38 says this: then said he unto his disciples, to his followers, the harvest truly is plenteous. He says, truly is plenteous. He's emphatically saying the harvest time is now. Listen, He says, but the laborers are few. Now, one of the things I want you to recognize is, in this commission to the saints, is that Jesus spotlights the problem. The problem. The problem. He makes clear that while there is a period where we should be rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, Amen. We should be rejoicing, saving souls, because there are certainly far more souls to be saved than there are servants who are presently serving. He points out the problem, that it's a good problem to have. On the one hand, we've got a whole lot of fruit that's ready to be harvested. But then he focuses on the problem. The problem is, because there's a shortage of labor, some of the fruit is going to spoil. Now listen at this. The sense of urgency, again, as I preach this message over to you, is that we don't have time to play. We don't have time to stray. We don't have time to stall. And we don't have time to go in the opposite direction of the harvest. God has placed us square smack in the middle of harvest season, where we are able, all around us, ain't got to go looking, running for the harvest. It's everywhere. It's about having a servant's mind to be able to minister the message of salvation, that Jesus saves from the guttermost to the uttermost, wherever we are, whoever we are, in whatever circumstance we might find ourselves in. We've got to minister the fact that Jesus came to seek and to save that which were lost.
Yes, he did.
So we've got to make full proof of our ministry, full proof of every opportunity in every situation, that the problem is we've got more unsaved folk than we have saved folk telling about a Savior.
Amen.
God called you to preach. All of your preaching ought not be from the pulpit. We ain't in church that much for you to preach that much. But you need to realize, everywhere we go and everywhere we are, God has people there with a built-in audience for us. And all we've got to do is get up prepared with a word in our heart, and not being afraid to open up our mouths and letting the Holy Ghost speak to us. And I got news for you. He can customize a message just for one. You learn how to preach to one good enough, and he'll have you preaching to two. And then 2, 10, and then from 10 to 100, and from 100, oh, learn how to meet him where he is, and he'll have you meeting them where they are, and it usually is in their need. If you are faithful over a few things, he'll make you ruler over many. If you just say, Lord, use me. The harvest truly is plenteous. Listen to what he'll do. He'll open up your eyes so you can see the fruit all around you. And it's at peak perfection. You don't want any to be lost. Because if you pass them by, the next thing may be a fall. And just think, when heaven records and rewinds that soul could have been saved by you, but you passed by and saw it and said, I'll catch it on my way back. But on your return journey, you looked up and didn't see it and thought somebody else got it, but you forgot to look down to see that what you didn't pick in its ripe seasons might be down on the ground rotting right now, because the harvest truly is plenteous. It's ripe. It's ready. It's now. And that was the problem. Here's what I want you to see now. The prescription. Because you know, if you aren't a part of the solution, Brother Miles Portier said, then you just a part of the pollution. Listen, he gives you the problem, but he also gives you now the prescription to solve the problem. And see, this is what we need to focus in on, because we've got a whole lot of folk who have the ability to analyze. You know, we are analysts to the umph degree. We are analyze a thing to death. We have paralysis of analysis. We just think ourselves.